Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to go with Gong as our starting third baseman. Not an easy decision. Colin and Gong, the regular third baseman, or Kevin and Eric to become the shortstop. We've let them know that this is not a 162-game set-in-stone decision, but we've also let them know that these guys aren't looking over their shoulders and this isn't going to be an every-other-game type situation. Gonzalez and Gong are going to be given every chance in the world to hold on to these jobs. Moran and Newman are going to play important parts for this organization, for this Major League team, short-term, moderate-term, and long-term. And the reality is you're going to need 30, 35, 40, 45 guys. You're going to need multiple shortstops. You're going to need multiple third basemen. And we're thrilled to have guys who are Major League quality starters not starting for us.
Yeah, that's Neil Huntington, and that's called letting you down easy. We're going with Gung and Gonzalez at short, but, hey, we're going to need those other guys too. Let's not forget about them. They'll be contributors at some point.
It takes a village of 35 to 40 players.
Jack Zarenczyk has experience in the GM chair. He's also going to have to put up with Craig Riley for about 100 games.
How much is that kind of weighing on your mind right now, Jack? Just the thought of seeing Craig in there, what, 70-some-odd times?
Well, working with Craig, I'm like a little kid in the sandbox. I can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward.
Great
to
GM
it.
Speak right there, Jack.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are a man proven right now. You know how to toe that line diplomatically.
We obviously want to ask you about the Trout deal because it sends shockwaves throughout sports. But let's start with what Huntington said. Let's start with the Gung decision, Jack. Like, what are reasonable expectations for a guy that hasn't played Major League Baseball since 2016?
I'm not sure what you would reasonably expect. I think what really comes down to is when you look at the production that they got out of Colin Moran, and you look at what you're hoping to get out of Gong and what you saw in spring training, you know, at least in their eyes. So you make this decision because you kind of feel this is the upgrade. You know, this is, we know what he did for us in the past. We're happy with what we see in spring training. Probably a better defender, certainly. Obviously, at 4 or 5 home runs in spring training. So, you know, that being said, they just felt this was the way to go. And it isn't necessarily about what you think he's going to do. It's about, in our mind, at this time, is he better than the guy he's competing with? And in their mind, that's the decision they made.
Jack, do you think I'm going to go to the other side, the other position on the left side of that infield very quickly here. Do you think that Gonzalez got tabbed the starting shortstop almost to put him at ease? Because what we've been hearing up here is that he's looked a little unsettled at times during the spring. They thought he would be a slick glove, maybe not a lot of bat, and he's had some glove issues. Is this just a thing to settle a player in and say, okay, you're the guy, go?
Well, only they would know that because they're with him day in and day out. They understand his personality. You know, the one thing is, you know, when you're bringing players into the organization, until they're in your locker room, you really don't know what makes them move, what ticks them, you know. So in this particular case, if that's what they're saying, then that's what they might feel. So I would also say that in Newman's case, you know, he got an opportunity last year and he didn't light the world on fire. I think there were some people who were disappointed in what they saw, especially defensively. And I think thinking about getting a guy that has experience, a veteran guy, give him the chance. If he's what we think he's going to be, then let's give him the first opportunity, and we'll play it from here. So nothing's etched in stone. Just because you've made these decisions right now, things could change in a dime. You know, you go 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks into the season, who knows what'll happen.
Jack, what's good power production for Gung? Is it 20 home runs? Is it 25? Is it 30? You'd be over the moon with 30. I mean, what's just a ballpark figure for you, just back of the baseball card home run and RBI numbers for him, ideally?
Yes. Coming back, I mean, if he had somewhere between, if he had 20 home runs, I think you'd be real happy with him. You know, if he did higher than that, then you've got to be really, really happy with him. You know, he may find his groove 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month in the season, halfway through, who knows. But you know what he can do. You know what the power production has been. and you're going to give them that opportunity to recreate it. So it's something that they desperately need, especially, you know, with Blanco not in the lineup right now. You don't know what Josh Bell is. So where are you going to get your power from? And Gong obviously has shown it, so you're hoping that this is the guy that will deliver for you.
Talking to Jack Cerenzik, going to team up with Craig Riley on Pirates games this year.
Oh, no, I was going to ask another one about following up on that power about Gong. If they had more established power in the lineup, do you think that it would necessarily be a situation where he still wins the job, or would there be more leeway for Moran if they thought maybe he would be less strikeout prone or whatever to win that gig?
I don't think so. I mean, this is an outside looking in opinion, but anytime you have competition between players and you make a decision to give a guy a starting job, it doesn't really matter what the rest of your club is around you. You made the decision because you think that guy is better than the guy he's competing with, at least at this point in time. So if you had Mike Trout in your outfield, you wouldn't make a different decision just because Moran was here or you don't know what Gong is. The fact that Gong has the opportunity to bring more to the table, I think, than what Moran has, is probably why they lean that way. So what you want to do is put your best products on the field day in and day out, and that's the decision that they're making at this time with Gong.
Jack, how should a Pirates fan feel about the Mike Trout contract where they see someone in a big marketplace like L.A. get $430 million? If you could speak to Pirates fans right now and how they might feel about watching this offseason over $1 billion get handed out to four players, what would you say to them right now?
Yeah, the reality is you're not in that market, you know, so you're not a player in with those type of players. Probably the happiest people in baseball are the 25 guys right now on this Pirate club because, you know what they say, you know, the high tide lifts all ships, you know, so I saw some of Brian's comments about him, but just in terms of Pittsburgh, I think you've kind of been used to it. You know, you think about this. Is the $36 million he's going to get per year for 12 years outrageous? Well, it all gets down to percentages. You know, their payroll is $175 million. Take away $36 million of that $175 million. You've got $140-some million to spend on 24 other players. If you're Pittsburgh and your payroll is $100 million and you take $36 million away from your $100 million, that gives you a whole lot of, you know, obviously, it's just the numbers speak for themselves. So, you know, how do you feel? It's the reality of living in Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Milwaukee, whatever other small market club. That's just the way baseball is right now.
Jack, what is Mike Trout's ceiling? Are we watching a guy who, if he stays healthy, has a chance to be... If I say, does he have a chance to be the greatest player of all time, do you immediately snort and laugh and say, Mueller has no idea what he's talking about, that's insane?
When he was a rookie, obviously I got to see him quite a bit. And that he came up at the end of the year, I think in 2011, he played like 40 games or something. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then the beginning of the next year, and I ran into the commissioner not long after that, Commissioner Seeley, and he said to me, he said, hey, Jack, he said, is this Mike Trout as good as everybody says he is? And I said, Mr. Commissioner, I didn't see Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays when they were young, but this guy's got to be right in that category because he is a tremendous player. So, you know, my view of him for a number of years now and watching him firsthand was he was the best player in the game. I mean, it was ridiculous what this guy can do. He does everything. If he has any shortcoming, you know, his throwing arm is not phenomenal, but... You know, it's good enough, clearly good enough, but he's acrobatic. He's got power. He can steal bases. He looks like a middle linebacker. You know, he looks like Brian Urlacher, you know.
Like Mueller's a little bit, Jack. I don't know if you've ever seen them face-to-face, but I can see some similarities there.
My contract's a little better than his, but, yeah, facially we're definitely similar.
Jack, but he's really a great player.
Jack, with your history, obviously, as a scout, too, what were scouts saying about this guy before he ever hit the bigs? Was there buzz about him because he came from Jersey, not a baseball hotbed?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, when his father was in college, he went to the University of Delaware, led the nation in hitting. And I think Minnesota took him, like, in a fourth round or something like that. But his father was tough as nails, real tough, hard-nosed guy. And when Mike came out, you know, the ironic thing about it is – they had back-to-back picks that year, like 25 and 26 or 24 and 25, whatever the numbers were. And he was the second guy they took. They took another high school outfielder, the very pick ahead of him, Grichuk. You know,
Randall Grichuk, yeah.
Randall Grichuk was the pick ahead of Mike Trout. But the Angels had back-to-back picks that year because of not signing someone the year before. So that's really ironic.
Wow.
When you think about it, being in the right place at the right time, you know, had they not had two picks, had they only had one, you know, would they have taken Grichuk? You know, they did, you know, and who knows where Trout would have been. But, you know, I think some of that is true. You know, he was a Northeastern kid, got started a little bit late. You know, but it is hard to believe. You know, I was in that draft, and our guys, we took Dustin Ackley, you know, who was the college player of the decade. And, you know, he was a big leaguer, but he didn't turn out to be anything near what Mike Trout is. So, you know, it's interesting how that works. And, you know, you could say the Angels were tremendously fortunate to have made that pick, and then you could look at 23 other clubs and say, what were you thinking? You know, so
yep.
It's funny how players are. You know, we see it in every draft all the time, you know, guys somewhere along the way. I mean, just Albert Pujols, 13th round pick, you know, and unfortunately, just a side note, the guy that signed Albert Pujols died yesterday, Fernando Arango. And that's an interesting story, Greg, that someday you and I will have an opportunity to talk about on a rain delay. But anyhow, yeah, you never know. You never know how things work out, and obviously credit them for picking them because they
Jack,
were right and everybody else.
Jack, that was what they call in this business a radio tease, but that's like a long-range radio tease. You're like teeing people up to listen to a rain delay that might be 2 months from now. If that's not incentive to listen during a rain delay, Chris, I don't know what it is. Craig, you
Jack
can learn something from this guy.
He sounds pretty pumped to be carrying through a rain delay. It sounds, Craig, like Jack is almost rooting for a rain delay so you guys can shoot breeze
yes.
together.
I'm here for rain delays with Jack, for sure.
Work on the voice,
Craig,
though,
Craig. Hey, Craig, we got a chance of having a snow delay before we have a rain delay, I think.
Very true.
So.
All right, Jack, I'm going to put you on hold, and Craig's going to run all his NCAA tournament picks by you, all right?
That's great. Perfect.
All right, we'll talk to
you
soon.
Jack.
Jack Sorensic. Well, that was worth it for those stories, huh? That was pretty cool. I'm happy you asked those questions because they weren't on my mind, but when you were in the middle of asking them, I was like, oh, crap, I really want to hear the answer to this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.